Today, I'm excited to introduce you to Alex Rakiki, chairman of Happy Belly Food Group, a publicly traded company scaling brands like Heal Wellness, Via Cibo Italian Street Food, and Yolks. Alex has co-founded and grown restaurant brands like Extreme Pita, Mucho Burrito, and The Burger's Priest with a track record of taking concepts from startup to scale. I've been wanting to bring Alex on the show for quite some time because I feel we have a similar mission to uncover the blueprint for restaurant growth, helping great concepts unlock new levels of freedom and prosperity. In this episode, we'll dive into Alex's journey, his approach to scaling brands, and the lessons he's learned along the way. Let's get into it. Welcome to Guest Getter, the best place for restaurateurs to learn the art and science of getting more new guests, getting guests coming back more often, and getting guests spending more per visit so that you can be more profitable and do more of what you love. My name's Kyle Guilfoyle. Let's hit it. Alex, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Fantastic, Kyle. Thanks for having me. Look forward to it.
Awesome. I'm stoked. So I'd love to hit these off with one little nugget of wisdom. And I like to find out what that is by asking you, what is one thing you wish you had learned years ago?
I think one thing I probably wish I would have learned years ago when we launched our first business, we were so focused on getting the product right and also focused on growth and what have you. And I think the one thing that I wish I would have known from day one is that it's all really tied down to being laser focused on the guest, right? Everything that you're doing within your four walls, everything that you're trying to do in terms of building systems and people and teams, it all comes down to making sure that everybody is laser focused on the guest and their overall experience. That the journey, the guest journey through your business and building that relationship with them is the single thing that's really going to determine your long-term success and build a sustainable business.
I love that. And I'm really curious because I think a lot about the guest journey. And I think that a lot of owners struggle with kind of making a practical roadmap or really putting that down on paper so that the rest of their organization, the rest of their team can understand how to invite their guests on that journey. Do you have any tips around how to do that?
The one thing I've always alluded to when we talk about the guest journey is really about how do you build relationships with people? And every single person that's coming in your door is an opportunity for you and your team to build a relationship with. There's a great book, Danny Myers, known as probably one of the premier restaurateurs, and the book Setting the Table is all about building that relationship with your guests. And we don't call them customers. We use the word guest for a reason, right? Because we want to treat them like a king or queen that's entering our home. What's the first thing you do when someone's entering your home, right? You're hospitable, you're inviting, you use language that really welcomes them into your family's home, right? We want to think about it the exact same way. It's not a transaction. It's about building relationships. And I think that is the single most important thing that we can lose on a day-to-day basis. Our business is a very fast business. It's moving at a fast pace. It's always evolving. There's a lot of things to deal with. It's a very competitive and very challenging business. And at times we remove the simplicity of it, which ultimately comes down to treating everybody as if they're a guest in your home when they come into your business.
Yeah, I love that. One of our guiding beliefs is relationships over transactions. So I think we're on the same page there. Speaking of journeys, so you're very interesting to me because you lead like a publicly traded hospitality group. You oversee at least 10 brands. How many brands is it in the cohort?
Because we're publicly traded, there's always stuff in motion that we can't discuss, but I think the portfolio is going to continue to grow and it's growing quickly right now organically. But yeah, we have 9 brands right now and on the restaurant side, and we have a couple of CPG brands as well.
Awesome. And most restaurateurs, they have a pretty tricky time with 1, 2, 3 locations, but you have many. And while some really want to get it right for just one location, you seem to be on a sort of a bigger mission or bigger path. And that's not to say that one is better than the other, but I am really curious about if you could take us through the Cliff's Notes version of your journey and how you got started and then all the way to where you are today.
So I started in the business, fell upon it, wanted to start a little business on the side. I had a full-time job right at university. And myself and my brother launched a brand called Extreme Pita back in 1997. And soon after, as we started to learn, like we were, I guess, what we would call intelligently naive. We were sponges when it came to learning, sponges when it came to understanding what made the business tick. And we quickly got into franchising. We visited other franchises and other franchise shows. And one of our early franchisees was a gentleman by the name of Sean Black, who subsequently, after opening up a couple stores, became our partner. And the three of us really played really well together as partners, and we had varying skill sets. Sean is a growth machine, really focused on the development and growth side. And he currently leads our Happy Belly group portfolio as a CEO. His mandate is growth, and he's done a great job with focusing on growth, whether it be finding new brands or finding new opportunities. And he and I, his office was right next to mine, and we pretty much spent more time together than we did with anybody else in our families, traveling, opening up restaurants, rolling up our sleeves, and really started right from ground zero. We built the brand, made every single mistake you can imagine, learned from those mistakes, and just kept going. There's times where we'd wake up and we're like, oh God, it's over. We're not going to make it through today. And there's days where we felt we'd wake up and we thought we were king of the hill. I think it's about pushing through. And in 2006, Sean and I were opening up one of our extreme pitas in the US. We had a mandate that we wanted to grow in the US, and we were very much focused on growing in the US. So we were sitting across a restaurant called Chipotle, and we went in there and tried it, and we're like, oh wow, this is great. There's nothing like this in Canada. And we both looked at each other, and the light bulb went off and said, hey, we should do something like this in Canada. And that was the onset of launching Mucho Burrito. We built Mucho Burrito and Extreme Pita up to about 340 locations. 2013, we sold that business to a publicly traded company, MTY. Sean went to work at MTY as the chief development officer and was involved in seeing that consolidator grow through a very big growth period. Myself and my brother went off and started a business. We were all three still remained partners called Crave It Restaurant Group, and we acquired a business called The Burger's Priest. We then acquired an interest in a brand called Fresh Plant Powered. We had our own brand via Chibo, and we grew that business. And that business was a little bit different. It was predominantly all corporately run restaurants. There weren't as many franchises. And we learned, it was another learning opportunity for us to run corporately run restaurants where we had hundreds of employees. We ran commissary kitchens, and it was just a great opportunity for us to be on both sides of the fence, franchisor and corporate restaurant operator. In 2021, along the way, we ended up buying out the founder of the Burger's Priest, who was actually a priest, and our partner became Recipe Unlimited, which was at the time a publicly traded company as well. And along the way, as we grew those businesses, as we grew Burger's Priest, and then we helped with the growth of Fresh, they stepped in and acquired our interest in Burger's Priest and Fresh in the middle of COVID. Our businesses were on fire. We were able to navigate COVID really well, and we exited that portfolio. We had done a few exits, 2013, big exit, 2021, another big exit. And looking at what we were going to do, one thing I said to myself was like, I'm going to slow down and take my time and look and just chill and take some time off, because we didn't do that on our first exit. It was literally, we sold, Sean went to MTY, and my brother and I and our partners there started building from one restaurant again, right? Sean was approached by a bunch of, I guess, investment bankers that brought an opportunity to him with a company called Plant & Co. We were a little bit familiar with it. They were in the plant-based space, trying to be a CPG-based business, consumer packaged goods-based business. And Sean said, hey guys, I think we can do something here. I don't know what. What do you guys think? And so we talked about it. And we said, you know what? Hey, let's throw our hat in the ring. We've never been in this domain of publicly traded companies. Sean had spent a bit more time in that space, with small cap companies and being involved with very small cap companies. And so we did. We threw our hat in the ring, and had no idea what we were getting into. It was a bit of a mess. The business was super challenged. The brands that it had didn't really have a strong plan, and one of them was losing money, serious losses. And so we tried to fix it. We really focused on CPG. We saw a shift in the plant-based space. My partner Sean was like, plant-based isn't as hot as it was when we were in it. It's changing. And he saw that happening. My niece and my daughter told me about a brand called Heal. I went and looked at it, thought it was interesting. Mentioned it to Sean, and Sean's kind of like a dog on a bone. When he sees something, he reached out, made contact with the owners, and set up some meetings. And we had the makings of a potential deal in place there. We were discussing, how do we do this? And we said, well, you know what? Maybe we throw this into Plant & Co. And we use this as a way to start growing a business that we know really well. And we can structure a deal where we use some of the stock in the company to make the acquisition happen. And we did. And then at that point in time, Sean felt we should really change our name and the brand positioning. And that's where Happy Belly came in the mix. We have a group of board of directors, myself, my brother, Sean Moniz, who is the founder of Plant & Co., who's involved in the leadership team of the business today, and Kevin Cole, whose background was CPG. We looked at CPG first, consumer packaged goods, and we're still looking at consumer packaged goods businesses, but our domain and our strength, certainly for the three of us, Mark, Alex, and Sean, has been in the restaurant space, in scaling businesses and finding opportunities like Heal that we call small to medium enterprises that have proof of concept that resonate really well, but need support in scaling. And that's what we've been good at. That's what we did with Heal. And then the doors just blew open, right? Sean was on a tear talking to brands, finding opportunities, filling the funnel in acquisition mode, speaking to investors. And I was myself and the team were trying to build systems and processes in place to make sure that we were ready to scale these brands as they came onto the platform. And a lot of times we didn't have a plan. We didn't know what was going to happen, but the plans have now started to unfold. The business is maturing, and certainly the opportunities that we have in front of us have really started to take fold. And Happy Belly has turned into something that is really getting a lot of attention in the marketplace, both in the public domain and as well as with restaurant operators or businesses that are small to medium enterprises that have proof of concept that are looking to a growth partner that is not just capital, but experience, infrastructure, a playbook to help them truly grow. And if you look at every single one of our brands, the gates have been blown open when it comes to organic growth. And then we're going to continue to acquire brands, and we'll find accretive opportunities, probably even bigger opportunities. So I think the opportunity for Happy Belly and under our CEO's leadership with Sean Black, I think it's going to go a long way.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And I can't wait to unpack that playbook
There's a
just
lot
a little
there.
bit.
Yeah, 3 years of history there.
But first, I'd love to understand if through that experience, if you've come up with, say, and I'm sure there's no one hit wonder or anything like that, but if you've uncovered, say, one to three ingredients that you look for in brands that have that potential to scale and to last.
Yeah, great question. And I think this is the mantra or at the core of our growth model is that we do look for brands that have proof of concept, right? They've resonated well. There's something there. You can see customers are loving it. They've got this unique brand that they've created. Typically, it's an extension of the founder. And we like to find founder-led brands. We in our deal structure, we'd like to try and keep the founders involved in the business, certainly in the early stages of growth, because it runs through their veins, right? They really understand it. And so proof of concept, founder-led brands, and brands that we feel have a cultural fit in what we're trying to do. Like, we don't want to work with a brand or a founder that truly doesn't want to grow. People that are amazing, unique, creative, and really have a strong understanding of their business. And ultimately, though, we want to really partner up with brands and founders that want to grow their business because that's what we're all about. We are about scale. The business will grow. And we want to get it to a point where it's beyond the founders or even ourselves as a leadership team, that this is a business that is growing within itself. We've built a company, an organization with infrastructure and people where the growth just continues organically. And we're starting to see that right now as we start to build infrastructure and put people in place at all the individual brands that are coming out of the gates. A lot of our brands are becoming thoroughbreds. See them running a very long, successful race outside of Canada and international markets, the US, you name it. Some tremendous opportunity in front of us.
That's awesome. Really exciting. And you earlier you mentioned that you when you were getting started, you were a sponge for learning. And I'm always curious about what maybe some of the most painful lessons were along the way that taught you the most. Do any come to mind that you'd be willing to share?
I think probably the most important one for me is like we never took on anybody else's money. We always grew with our own money. When I started early on, there's actually five people that we opened up the very first restaurant with. They're all sort of partners or friends or people that we had money. So I think maybe getting alignment in the partnership, who's going to do what? Everyone's got to play their positions and everyone's got to show up dressed to play. That's important. I don't think it was bad partnerships or just maybe a bunch of young guys being naive and not understanding that this business is going to grow and we all can't step on each other's toes. Everyone's got to have alignment and everyone's got to play their position. Probably the most important thing is if you are getting involved with a partner, what are you doing? What does your partner bring to the table that you don't already have? You don't want to have the exact same skill set, right? You want to find a partner that's going to fill void, fill gaps. And some of those partners might just be capital partners, right? So partners that can bring something to the table that you don't have, that's really at the core of what we're doing at Happy Belly. Like we bring growth and scale to the table to a lot of our partners. Maybe overexpansion, growing a little bit too quickly and not being ready for it. So I'm a big believer, and this is where I think our partnerships worked well. Sean's always been like hyper-focused on growth, and him and I have always been there. And then you've got my brother Mark, who his background is a chartered accountant, certified financial analyst. He's a finance guy, right? So for him, it's all about the numbers and the num and so we've always had this really great balance of financial literacy, growth, and building teams and infrastructure and people. We've always worked well together. And I think even now today with Happy Belly, like Sean is absolutely focused on growth, focused on being in front of investors, being in front of shareholders, and he's done a great job of over communicating with them. And the rest of the team is focused on making sure the infrastructure is in place and we're onboarding our brands into a playbook that we know works. And how do we continue to evolve that? How do we use technology? How do we use artificial intelligence? Or how do we use all of that to amplify our own intelligence as an organization to grow the business, right? Grow it organically and also identify opportunities that are going to come our way in this business. I think as an organization, we're probably the only company that has played at the level that we play at, which is small to medium enterprises. Everybody else, every other consolidator goes out and tries to buy a business that has scale already. We believe there's tremendous value that is uncovered and can be super amplified when you buy small brands and you scale them, right? Because you're buying them at a low valuation, many times lower than what the market would sell for bigger businesses. And we're able to really curtail and navigate their growth to a point where that valuation just grows tenfold, right? And being a public company, our shareholders are able to see the benefit of that. And so that's what we're doing. And nobody's played in that space. We did that privately. With Burger's Priest, and we did it with Fresh. And when we launched the other brands and we saw a tremendous scale, we started with a $5,000 investment in our first business and we exited for a 9x multiple. And we saw tremendous upside, and we're seeing the upside here in the public domain as well. I think we have a unique skill set that a lot of people don't have. We're a roll up your sleeves kind of organization, and we believe in the player coach mentality where you can get on the field and play right next to your teammates. Or you can step off the field and coach the team in front of you. So that's kind of people that we look for in our organization. And we're building an infrastructure with some amazing people that have worked with us in the past that are now joining us. And yeah, I'm excited. Like I said, Sean's on a tear when it comes to growth. And the rest of the team is doing a great job of making sure that the growth is managed and that we're executing at a high level.
So I think that's a great segue to unpack the playbook just a little bit, which is, let's say we drop you into a brand that seems to meet the ingredients or the criteria. What could you just run us through high level play by play how you'd approach taking that brand from where it is to,
Yeah.
scaling
So
it
the
up?
first thing that happens is our deal team mobilizes. They mobilize into analyzing the opportunity, right? So we look at the financials, we look at the people, we meet, we taste the food. Sean calls it the belly check. We do a lot of eating, a lot of eating. We look under the cover, watch the operations, and really identify what the uniqueness is of that brand, right? And then we look at like I said, we look at the financial model, we strike a deal, make sure that deal works for Happy Belly and for our new partners. And once that's all kind of been unpacked and approved, and it goes through the approval cycle, and the due diligence is completed, what happens is we sit down with that brand and we do an analysis. We look at it and we identify where that brand is within our playbook. So our playbook starts from as early as like day one to as early as like day 365. Like how mature is this brand in the process? How developed is it? What does it need? What is it missing to be ready for growth? And so we look at all of that with the people that are a part of the team, and we uncover all of that stuff, and we come up with an immediate 6-month plan where we start to make sure that the infrastructure and the foundation is there without really changing it. And all of this stuff is what I call non-guest facing. If we see a brand that has a real resonates really well with the consumers, that's the guest facing element of the brand, right? The product, the interaction with the customers or the guests, the branding, the marketing, the website, how they serve guests in that restaurant. That's all guest-facing stuff. We don't want to change that stuff. We just want to amplify it. right? We want to support it. We want to identify additional opportunities to do that. We really focus on what we call non-guest facing stuff, the tools, the processes, and the procedures that are going to allow that brand to scale and grow, and allow that brand to scale and grow and amplify what they're already doing as an organization, right? So I think that's been our secret sauce, is being able to go in there and not make wholesale changes to the brand that are going to undermine or water down what the guest already loves about it, right? We want to give it, bring it and amplify it and bring it out there to more people. Find locations, identify growth opportunities, identify growth partners, maybe help them buy better contracts, better programs, everything from insurance to purchasing to technology. We're bringing scale to our partners. And the more we grow, the more there is that's available. Those brands that have maybe 2 or 20 locations that want to get to 100, whatever that milestone is, we're an organization where the people involved have been there. We've done it. We've done it with our own money, and we've done it with our own brands.
Is there one thing you tend to see most new brands that you go into? They're just, it seems super fundamental or basic to you, but it's just like missing.
A lot of it is processes. Like they haven't documented processes, or they're not looking at the data. They're so focused on the day-to-day. I remember with Burger's Priest, right? The founder did a great job with that brand, and you could put the best marketers in the room. You put best marketers in the room, they probably could not have created a brand when that brand, the way the brand was created. It was the timing of it was perfect. Social media was starting to take off. The foodie culture was starting to take off, where people wanted to uncover new and exciting experiences, and they would go to social to share it, right? And being the first location, being in the beaches just off of Coxwell, like next to a rundown crack house, I guess is the best way to describe it. It was like it was uncovered, right? All of that was like a perfect storm, right? The name, the Burger's Priest, the fact that the founder went to seminary school, wanted to be a priest, but went in off and started Burger, like all of that was just like the perfect storm. And that was probably a case study on what not to change, on how to fan that communication, how to keep the founder involved, and how to support the growth. And we did. And we quickly brought it up to 11 locations before he exited, because we got it to a point where he was like, you know what? I'm happy where this has gone and how the business has grown. And he did exceptionally well. We felt there was more to go and more to take the brand to a whole other level. We had bigger dreams of bringing this to across multiple locations. And along the way, our partner's recipe came in, and they had a different vision for the business. And we decided at that point, hey, we're going to exit and go off and do something else. And so I think when I think about that learning experience and what we did there, and even with Fresh and finding the right people to come in and build the business, and where we could be more supportive and behind the scenes, we're very malleable in each and every unique experience, right? Every brand is different. And it's not one stroke of the pen or one stroke of the wand that's going to have every brand be reflected upon the exact same way. I think the problem there is that with small brands, you need to nurture them. And especially because we like founder-led brands that are unique and different, we need to nurture that guest experience and what that brand stands for. We don't want to white label it. We don't want to come in and make one program the same for all of them. And I think that's really the heart of what we do, is, and the fact that we're all involved. Obviously, Sean is the CEO, myself as the chairman. We're all playing positions and helping out, and we're all having conversations with the individual brand leaders, and we're supporting them wherever they can pick up the phone and call any one of us to get advice or support. And ultimately, it's up to them to determine what in that process they want to utilize or not utilize. So the guest-facing stuff, it just makes sense, right? Let's all get on the same page. Let's all do the same things. Let's report the same ways. Let's look at data the same ways. Let's leverage the scale, but make sure the guest-facing stuff is always true and unique to what is the essence of that brand and what made it successful and what made us want to look at it.
Got it. Got it. And I'm also really curious about what led to the decision to go public and what that experience was like.
Yeah, so there was no decision to go public. Plant & Co. was a public company. When Sean uncovered the opportunity and it was brought to him, he saw a massive opportunity in the public domain. I've always run private companies. It's always been my own capital. We've never taken on outside investors. We always invested in our capital, and every dollar we made, we reinvested back into growth. We were acquired on both occasions by, at the time, two public companies. Sean went and worked at MTY and saw the growth. And I guess he saw how they were running the business and saw the experiences that we had and felt we have the perfect recipe to build a public business realize the benefits of a public market, bring more shareholders on, get the uptick in the multiples that public markets get, and bring our unique experiences and our unique strategy of going after small to medium enterprises, founder-led brands. Our deal structure of keeping them involved was very unique. No one was doing that in the public domain, and he saw that opportunity. He said, "Guys, I think we can see some tremendous upside here. It's going to take a lot of work, but we could drive some real value for our shareholders, real value for ourselves as well. And we're invested in the business, and we continue to buy shares in the company, and we're incentivized by growth. So we're in it with our shareholders, right? We're not the kind of company that is in it for, or the type of people that are in it for a short term. We're going to build a long-term business that is going to be a tremendous legacy, I believe, for ourselves and for our shareholders. So that's what we're excited about. It's an opportunity here for to change a lot of people's lives, a lot of people's lives. Our founders, our employees, there's tons of our employees that are buying the stock, buying shares in the company that never had an opportunity like this. And they see what's happening with their own very eyes, right? So they're involved in it. They see the process, they see the growth, they see the change, they see what's happening, they see this groundswelling movement that's happening that's led by our CEO. And they're like their partners now, right? So that to me, that's huge. That's massive to be able to create something like that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that's a great. Okay, so I want to respect your time here. And you touched on it, but I'd love to know a bit more about what's next for you, what you're kind of most pumped about going into 2025.
I think 2025 is going to be an amazing year. Like when we started off, just like other businesses, there was very few people, a short bench doing a lot of work and people wearing multiple hats. We have now brought on some senior leadership that is working with our existing management team to make sure that the growth plans are supported properly and sustained. And you know, I'm excited about the continued acquisitions that we have in front of us and the excitement that we've created in the marketplace for early shareholders that see this story really start to unfold and see the strategy start to unfold. And people that maybe didn't believe in what we were trying to do now coming back to the table and saying, "Wow, I want to be a part of this. You guys have really done a great job with this, and I want to be a part of this. I want to join the Happy Belly family." So I think I'm just excited of seeing what we did early on and what's been created and the strategy that Sean's kind of put in place and the growth strategy. I'm excited to see that continue to unfold and make this company bigger to continue to increase the market capitalization of the company. Most importantly, I think we're turning heads of institutional investors. And we have some very early key investors that believed in the story that have been able to leverage the growth in the company. But I think for us, our goal is to probably uplist to the TSX and continue to just deploy the strategy that has made us successful and continue to scale the brands that we have and find opportunities to creative opportunities to buy more brands.
Love it. Alex, thank you so much. Before we wrap up here, are you down for a quick round of rapid fire questions?
Let's do it.
Okay, awesome. All right, let's hit it. Alex, what is your favorite drink?
Non-alcoholic or alcoholic, or does it matter?
Let's go both.
Okay, sparkling water for sure. I don't know. I've got enough. I seem to have enjoy my glass of sparkling water, but probably a Negroni. I'd like to start if I'm having dinner, I'd like to start a dinner with a Negroni or some variation of. There's a lot of variations of Negronis out there, so I'd like to test them all.
Give me my desert island is a mezcal Negroni.
Oh, nice. I've had that. It's excellent. Excellent.
Yes.
As an Italian, I usually don't like to throw off the tradition, but I've had that, and I was at Nobu this week, and I had their Negroni, which was excellent as well.
Speaking of Nobu or any other spot, what's your all-time most favorite dining experience that you've had?
Not including any of our restaurants. To be anywhere where I'm with my family, to be honest, it's hard to put I've been fortunate where we've experienced a lot of different restaurants in different parts of the world. I would say that I will. So I recently did a trip with some friends, and we were at a restaurant in Montepulciano, and the name escapes me right now, but it was just a super authentic dining experience run by a family. And we didn't pick up a menu, didn't make any decisions. All the food was brought to us. There was eight of us in that meal. It was super affordable, and just the food was just off the charts memorable.
When I bartended quite a bit, we used to joke about wines from Montepulciano. I don't even know how to say it.
Montepulciano, yeah, some great wines there.
We would just call it multiple channels. Multiple channels. Alex, what book, tool, or resource has made the biggest impact on you?
It's changed over time, question. So I think the one book that probably made the biggest impact ever was The E-Myth.
That's so
And
cool.
I only reason why is because like I was probably that entrepreneur that got way too involved in my business and rolled up my sleeves and thought I had to do everything and made sure everything was perfect. And I learned very quickly that there was no dreams of grandeur of scale. Like it was opening one restaurant. And I remember the very first time we opened, like I literally wanted to make every single pita for every single customer because it had to be perfect, right? And that's part of my DNA. I'm a little bit of a perfectionist and like to do things a certain way. But I've learned over the years that if you want to grow, you want to scale, people are at the core of everything that you do. And that book just opened a lot of eyes on how to think about growth, right? How to not work in your business, but to work on your business. And I still think about that book every single day. It was probably the first book I picked up where I wanted to learn more about my business and what I was doing right or doing wrong. And it really just changed my mindset. Really just changed my mindset.
Yeah,
It's a simple book. It's
amazing
a
book.
simple read. And I look back now and I mean, like that stuff is pretty easy and straightforward. And I look at it all the time, but I see it along a lot of entrepreneurs, right? Like that is probably one of the biggest challenges is building teams, understanding processes. How do you train? How do you duplicate? How do you multiply what it is that you do across multiple people, multiple channels, multiple locations? That's really the Caramilk secret.
Yeah, and it's about a baker. It's about a bakery owner, so that's
Yeah.
pretty even more
Yeah.
applicable to the restaurant space.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was another one of those what I call light bulb moments.
Awesome. And blatantly stole this one from Tim Ferriss, which is if you were to have one message on a billboard, what would that message be?
Keep going.
Nice. All right. Alex, thank you so much for your time. Actually, is there anything I should have asked you, but I did not that might
No,
be helpful?
I think we covered a lot of it. I think we talked a lot about Happy Belly. It's an exciting time. It's another time where I continue to learn new things and play in a new world. And yeah, I'm super excited about what the team's doing and where we're going with it. And super excited to see how technology is going to change our business over the next little while.
Absolutely. Alex, is there anywhere we should send people to connect with you, learn more about what you're up to?
Yeah, you can follow me on LinkedIn. I highly recommend anybody that's interested in a Happy Belly story to go to our website, Happy Belly Food Group, as well as I recommend following our CEO, Sean Black, on LinkedIn or any of his social channels. Certainly on LinkedIn, we're as a company very active. That's where you get a lot of the updates on all of our openings, where we're at, what we're doing, what we're looking at. And we have a really great network of people that we've worked with over the years that have all come back. And I think the underlying adage that the team uses is that every day we're just getting started, right? So when we hit a new milestone, we're still just getting started, right? So it's an exciting time, and we're going to be in this business for a long time, and I can't wait to see what we build.
That's awesome. Hey, you guys are big on X too, aren't you? Isn't that kind of.
Yeah, X is a big one. We're posting a lot on X, but LinkedIn and X are probably the two biggest ones. And then obviously all the individual brands, like go to our website, go to Happy Belly Food Group, follow us. You'll see all the brands, any new announcements on the brands. And if you're a shareholder, obviously X, LinkedIn, Discord. Our group's done an amazing job. And Sean I think he must live on his phone because he's always communicating with shareholders, investors, customers. He's out there always telling people what's happening. And I think that's what's really created a lot of the excitement, right? It's fanned the flames, and it's an exciting time to be part of this company for sure.
Amazing, Alex. Thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Kyle. I appreciate it as well, and look forward to chatting soon.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Guest Getter Podcast, where we help you turn visitors into regulars and regulars into raving fans. If today's episode sparked any questions or ideas about growing your restaurant, why not drop us a line? Text us at 778-400-4915 and let's start a conversation about growing your restaurant and taking it to the next level. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and keep playing offense. Until next time, cheers.